Are you all doing well? I thought tonight it'd be really good to just reflect a little bit on our weekend away. And I know that some of you weren't there, but I think that I felt like God was speaking at that weekend away. And I think it would be a shame not to reflect on what I felt God was saying, what we felt God was saying to us as a congregation as we went away, because I think actually it's something that we can think about and maybe have a discussion, an ongoing discussion about how we meet together, how we do church. So I'm going to share a little bit and just some thoughts really, and then I also want to give space for anyone else to share if they feel like God's saying anything, or if they just feel that they've got a testimony that would encourage us, something that maybe God's been doing in your life. So there'll be space for that as well. But I thought I'd just read, just to begin with, from Galatians 3, just a short bit, and it's Galatians 3:26, and it says, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So for those of you who don't know, we went away last weekend to Carroty Wood, 5-star Carroty Wood, very good. And we slept over, and Rich Thomas, good friend of ours, who used to be at St. Matt's, came and spoke to us. And I just want to pull out a few things that I felt that were really significant. I think I'm thinking of this in the context of, we've been doing a series over the last couple of weeks on Trinity, and the idea that kind of Father, Son and Holy Spirit are this amazing whirling community of love and passion and joy. The book we read was called The Great Dance, and the author describes the Trinity as this amazing dance between these three, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And how that we, through Jesus, have been caught up and included in that great dance of love and community and life. The thing, I guess, a few things that really stuck out to me over the weekend, and I really felt it was significant, and I hope you don't think it's because I like food, and I know I like food, but I think there might be something that God is speaking to us through the food. Thank you, Lord. And that was that I felt there was something powerful about us eating together, having breakfast together, having lunch together, and having dinner together. And I know I've mentioned this before, and it feels like a theme that keeps coming up, because we had a meal with some guys from the hostel a couple before Christmas, and that again felt really significant. And it felt like actually this was a picture of God. There was something that when I looked around the table, I felt this God, it's like this is a picture of the nature of God, of sharing, of love, of community. There was something that it reflected the heart of God in an amazing way. It spoke of equality. That's why I read that verse in in Galatians, we are all one in Christ Jesus. Around this table, we're all different, but around the table, there was a oneness that was we experienced, I think. We were laughing together, and when we were laughing together, I was thinking, wow, I can imagine the Trinity laughing together. I can imagine Jesus cracking a joke and the Father, laughing in, to tears. And I thought, and we were doing that. Do you know what I mean? And I felt, wow, this is such an experience of God. But I don't think we often value those times. We think we've placed such value on preaching and such value on musical worship, which is really cool and really important. But I think in doing that, we may have devalued community. And I just wonder if God is wanting us to begin to explore, get out of our comfort zones a little bit, and explore what it means to be people who eat together, people who share together. There was, I had an amazing conversation with someone around that dinner table. And this particular lady has been in our church for a long time. And she imparted such wisdom to me while we were putting the knives and forks out. And I would never hear her speak in church. But in the context of laying a table, something that she carries of God was released to me. Because we had made a context for her giftings to be passed to mine. And I thought that was amazing, because in this context, that doesn't really happen, does it? Much. But in the context of a table, someone who's in our church, who has great wisdom from God, there was an atmosphere where she could release that wisdom. And it just made me think. When I got home, I just remembered reading something about meals in one of the books that I've been reading recently, and it's a book called The Ecstasy of Loving God, brilliant book, by John Crowder. And in it, he writes about the early church and how a big part of being church then was eating together. They would call it love feast or agape feast. So I'm just going to read a little bit from it. He says this: the love feast or agape was a time of meal and fellowship where the poor were invited. It was actually a holdover from the old Jewish sacrificial system. An animal would be butchered, obviously no longer for sacrificial means. Christ died once and for all. But perhaps it was a prophetic reminder of the cross, just as the ancient sacrificial system was a prophetic foreshadowing of the cross. Now listen to this. I think this is really interesting. He says this: relationship and community does not happen in the rows of a pew. It's in the conversations, the joys, the battles, and the mix of life. It happens over tables and in the mirth of celebration. The love feast was perhaps one of the greatest things we lost to the religious spirit, but it will be restored. God is reintroducing a holy party spirit back to the church in this hour, and setting us free from our dour pietism that robs our joy, creativity, and freedom. I thought that was an amazing quote. And I don't have any answers to what I'm thinking, but I want to present to you that I think maybe God might be speaking to us. And maybe that's something that we can go away and think about. What does it look like for us to go a bit deeper with one another? Is there ways where we can create an atmosphere where gifts come out without realizing? Is there a way for us to create an atmosphere of celebration and party where God, the nature of God, is revealed? We value preaching. We value worship. I wonder if we need to start valuing eating together. I wonder if we need to start valuing tables. I wonder if we need to start valuing being together. And I know that that might mean change or something. I don't know. But I felt that's what God was saying. I felt that that's what stirred me on the weekend away. And so I kind of just offer that to you. I also noticed that vulnerability was a massive part of this. Rich got us to do something amazing. He got us to sit in a circle, and what we had to do, we weren't prophesying over people. We had to tell them the gifts we thought they had, what they brought to church. And it was really powerful, and it was really like a very vulnerable time, because there you were, you had to sort of wait for everybody else to say something about you, and you're like, oh gosh, I hope they say something nice. And instead of saying, you know, oh, I see, you know, a picture of a waterfall, and God says, you know, one day you will own a boat, I don't know, you know, like that kind of weird prophetic stuff, we were saying, do you know what, this is how I see you. And it was so encouraging. I think everyone was there would agree that it was a really powerful time, because actually you suddenly felt like people knew you and people appreciated who you were. And it meant we just were intentional about being vulnerable, and in that place of vulnerability, encouraging one another. And that felt really good, and it felt powerful, and it felt like actually that probably did something for people that might help in their lives. So they are my thoughts, and I think I'm going to go away and think about what that looks like. And I would encourage you perhaps to pray and think about, what is God saying to us? I think it involves food. Thank you, Lord. I think it involves vulnerability. And I think it involves encouragement. So there you go. So that's what I have to say, really. No, it isn't. Just, I shared on the Sunday a message, and I just want to quickly share a very small snippet of what I shared. But I think, again, it's something that's really important for us. And it's the idea of no separation. And I spoke on three ways we need to experience that reality, no separation. One is, there's no separation between us and God. Jesus has fully brought us into the presence of God. We are fully accepted. There's nothing in the way. You are full of God. Colossians 2 says that we've been given fullness in Christ. And I think that's really important, that we know that our God, there's no barrier. We've been brought in by the blood of Jesus into his presence. There's no separation. So there's no separation between us and him. I feel like there should be no separation between one another. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And I guess this is where the whole idea of the table eating together comes in. There is no separation between us. It's like, Lord, would you break down those walls between us? Everyone is valued. Everyone has something powerful to bring to the table. You know, when Paul was talking to Corinthians, he said, come and bring a word, bring a song, bring a word of encouragement. Yes, we do it orderly, but there's a sense that everyone has something to give, something to speak into each other's lives. So, no separation between us and God, no separation between one another. We are one in Christ. And then the idea that there's no separation between us and our world. God is at work in the world around us. He's already there. You know, heaven and earth, the angels said, are full of your glory. And I just feel like God is putting an expectation in us that he's already at work out there. And we get to go and find him. We get to go and find him in our work colleagues. Find him in our schools. Find him in our culture. I think so often we talk about taking God out into our culture, which is cool, but I have a sense that he's also already there. It's interesting when Paul was talking to the guys in Athens, he used a lot of their philosophers to talk to them. And he said, you know, as your philosophers say, you know, in him we live and move and have our being. Isn't that, that's an amazing bit of scripture, isn't it? In him we live and move and have our being. But if you read that in Acts, it actually comes from a Greek philosopher, that phrase. God was at work, even if he didn't know it, in that philosopher. The glory of God, heaven and earth are full of your glory. I just feel like God might begin to give us eyes to see his glory in places where we didn't expect. No separation between us and him. No separation between us and one another. No separation between us and our world. Just a thought. But something that I feel like God is... That's came out the weekend away. Something to think about. Something to pray about. I'll shut up now.